This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, the Majestic, the Exalted, and we ask Him to send His choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear elders and brothers in Islam, I start off by reminding myself, and then all of you all gathered here in this masjid, and those who may listen to this recording later on, to bring in a life of taqwa, and that is to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you must do this as believers, as followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and if you wish to attain victory and success in this world as well as the next. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa, and may He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. Our Maker, He says in Surah An-Nahl, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Now this is an ayah which is read almost every single Friday by the khatib, by the preacher, and I'm sure it rings a bell, and most of you are familiar with this ayah. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He orders, إِنَّ اللَّهَ, indeed Allah, يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ, He orders, He enjoins what? Al-Adl, justice. He enjoins and He orders justice. Hadith is recorded in the book of Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, where our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, and by the way, this is a Hadith Qudsi. What is a Hadith Qudsi? Some of you might be familiar with what a Hadith Qudsi is, and if you aren't familiar, Hadith Qudsi is basically the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transmitted to us through the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it is not considered Quran. The Quran, what is the Quran? Quran, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that too was revealed unto us through the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Hadith Qudsi is the same thing, but it is not considered Quran, but rather it is from the category known as Hadith. So Hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, O my slaves, I have forbidden dhulm, I have forbidden injustice, I have forbidden oppression, I have forbidden wrongdoing, dhulm. I have forbidden this unto myself, and I have made it haram amongst you all. So do not wrong one another. Do not wrong one another. Do not oppress one another. Do not deal with one another in an unjust way. I want you all to internalize the ayah that I just read and this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this concept, this idea of justice is obviously a very lofty one. And you might be thinking, well, it's not necessarily relating to me. I am no judge. I am no Supreme Court judge. I am no High Court judge. So you know what? All of this, I don't really relate to it. You know, you and I, we tend to pass judgments more than actual judges. We tend to pass judgments more than supreme judges in their courts. We pass judgments between friends. We pass judgments between family members. You pass judgments between your children, between siblings. as an employer between employees, as the imam of a masjid between individuals who come to him for advice. Why? Even during sport, you're playing with your friends. Obviously, you're not playing professionally. Let's say you're playing as a recreational activity. You're not going to have a referee or an umpire. So what happens? We tend to play that role. So if you feel that a shot is out, for example, you call it out. And at times there's a dispute. And then you come in between to judge, to mediate. So at every juncture, regardless of how trivial it may be or how serious the situation may be, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He enjoins justice upon us. Now, I want to divert your attention towards a very serious topic. For those of you all this while, if you were one foot here and one foot elsewhere, I want you all to focus. Because this is a very serious topic. And it is related, because I just set the stage by talking about justice. I just set the stage. And now that our minds are conditioned, contextualized, now I'd like to address this topic. Today you hear children saying, siblings, my brother is the only one in the house who gets all the attention. My sister gets everything that she wants. My younger brother, he gets everything that he wants. He is close to dad, or she is close to mom. This is a common problem that we see across many families, many households today. And this is the problem of favoritism amongst children. This, my dear brothers in Islam, is a huge form of injustice. Parents, they show favoritism for many reasons. It could be at times shown to the eldest child. It could at times be shown to the youngest child. It could at times be a preference of a son over a daughter, or the preference of a daughter over a son, or the fact that a child is more closer, is more loving, is more obedient. There are a number of factors that lead to a parent favoring one child over the other. And at times it could happen for simply no reason at all. No reason at all. So as you can see, it takes on many forms, it takes on many shapes. And this will manifest itself in the form of the father or the mother excessively praising one child and neglecting the others. It can take on the form of the father or the mother giving gifts to one child and ignoring the rest. Or it can take on the form of the father or the mother giving more expensive gifts to one child in preference to the others. And it can also manifest itself in such a way where the father or mother who favors one child over the other ignores the other children. Ignores the other children. My dear brothers in Islam, our deen, our religion, and the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam condemns and declares as forbidden all these injustices that we just mentioned, all these biases. Favoritism is not something that Islam permits. It is forbidden. I want to share two narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first one being the hadith of responsibility. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he states that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullukum ra', every one of you is a shepherd. Every one of you is a shepherd and is responsible for his flock." I want you to internalize the words of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are a shepherd. I am a shepherd. He is a shepherd. He is a shepherd. Every one of you, we are all shepherds of our flocks. So every shepherd is responsible for his flock. The leader of a people is a guardian and he is responsible for his subjects. A leader, he is responsible for his subjects. A man is the guardian of his family and he is responsible for them. A woman is the guardian of her husband's home and his children and she is responsible for them. The servant of a man is a guardian of the property of his master and he is responsible for it. No doubt, every one of you is a shepherd and is responsible for his flock. So I want you to first understand the responsibility that is upon your shoulders. So, O fathers, O mothers, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with children, it is a huge responsibility upon your shoulders that you have to ensure that you do justice unto. Now you might have heard of the narration or the incident of a sahabi by the name Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu, who says that his father brought him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So basically what happened, I'm just going to narrate the incident in my own words. The father of Nu'man radiallahu anhu gifts Nu'man radiallahu anhu something. He gifts him something. Now the mother of this sahabi, observing this, she immediately said, I will not accept this unless you go, she tells her husband, I will not accept this unless you go and ask guidance from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard. So basically a man gives his son something. The wife comes in between and instructs the man to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and take guidance in this regard. So now the Prophet now this man takes his son and goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I have given this son of mine a gift. I have given this son of mine a gift and I would like you to bear witness to it. Do you know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did at that juncture? He immediately asked, have you got other children? To which the man replied in the affirmative. He said, yes, I have other children. Have you given a similar gift to all of your other children? You are gifting this son a gift. Have you given a similar gift to all of the other children? To which the man says, no, no, Ya Rasulullah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, take your gift back. Take your gift back. Because I am not going to bear witness over this. I will not bear witness over injustice. I will not bear witness over injustice. I will not bear witness over injustice. Treat your children justly. Ittaqullah. Fear Allah and treat your children justly. Today, my dear brothers in Islam, we see this issue in many households, in many families, where we as parents, we think, oh, let me give this child one thing, let me give that child one thing, and in our own heads, we think that it is fair. But we have to touch our hearts and ask ourselves, have we been actually fair and just? Because you have to bear in mind that this is huququl ibad, this is with regards to the rights of the creation. You have rights of Allah and rights of the creation over you. With regards to the rights of Allah, that is to offer your salah, that is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you fall short, not that I'm saying you should fall short, but if you fall short, it is between you and Allah. If Allah decides to forgive you, you are forgiven. But if you have wronged the rights of another human being, it can be in the form of your child, it can be in the form of your wife, it can be in the form of your sibling, it can be in the form of your father, your mother, it can be in the form of your friend, it can be in the form of your neighbor. If you have wronged, if you have usurped the rights of another human being, now the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hinged onto the forgiveness of that other individual. If he so wishes, he can extract justice on the day of judgment. And until he forgives you, or until justice is meted out, that case will not be resolved. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So at times as parents, you have to understand, my dear, brothers and sisters in Islam, by doing injustice, you are now driving a wedge. By showing favoritism, you are causing dissent and hatred amongst your children. And this baggage will spill down the generations. And how can we sleep in peace in our graves? When due to the injustice that we have done, siblings break apart, families break apart, jealousy settles in, anger settles in, hatred settles in, toxicity settles in, and this spills down the line generation after generation. And if you were the cause, O mother or O father, it is a very serious matter. So with regards to gifting, in summary, I'm just going to mention the ruling, because people think that, oh, when gifting, I can gift one child and maybe I'll gift another child later on. No. With regards to gifting your children, you have to be equal. Don't try to apply the laws of inheritance when gifting. Some people think, oh, the laws of inheritance, the son should get double the daughter, so let me gift also like that. Let me give my son double the daughter. No, it doesn't work that way. There is a lot of wisdom behind why the laws of inheritance have been structured as such, and why the male gets double the female. Don't think that that is a form of injustice. That is divinely stipulated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it would require another sermon or a series of lectures for me to go into detail and explain the wisdom behind the laws of inheritance. But in terms of you and I, we cannot apply divine laws. The minute a person passes away, the minute a person dies, his or her estate, the word estate is used to refer to everything that that person owns or possesses in a legal sense, the estate of that individual will be divided according to the laws of inheritance. Automatically, the laws of inheritance come into play. So at that point, if you have knowledge about it, if you don't have knowledge about it, you can refer to a scholar who will guide you, or your family will refer to a scholar who will guide them in terms of how the inheritance needs to be divided. But during your lifetime, when you gift, you have to ensure that, and this is the proof, the hadith that I just shared, Nu'man radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying, gift equally, you have to gift equally. Now, having dealt with the subject of gifting, we come to, before I conclude, inheritance and the last will very quickly. When talking about the last will, again, people have misconceptions with regards to this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that it is the duty of every Muslim who has something to be given as a will or through a will, not to spend two nights without writing a will about it. Without writing a will about it. Now, this will, what does the will entail? If you listen to me attentively, you won't be confused, inshallah. Let's say a man owns 1 million of whatever, okay? 1 million. Now, during his lifetime, if he chooses to gift his children from that 1 million, he has to gift equally. So let's say for the sake of this example, he has 1,100,000. Now he has two children, he wants to gift his children. He can't take 100,000 and give one child. If he's gifting, he has to give 50,000 to one child, 50,000 to the other child. If he wants to give gold, one gold coin to one child, another gold coin to another child. If he wants to give a property, the properties need to be equal in value. Gifts have to be equal. So let's say 100,000 was given as gifts, 50,000, 50,000. How much is he left with? 1 million. Now this 1 million, okay, he has it with him. If he dies, we didn't talk about the will as of yet. If he dies, automatically the laws of inheritance will come into play, and the 1 million will be divided across his living heirs, his living inheritors. That may be his wife and his two children. It will be divided as per the shares stipulated in the Quran. So where does the will come into play? You have to understand that generally Inheritors are not brought into the will. Because why? They are by default going to get through the inheritance scheme. So you might be wondering then, what is the purpose of the will? What is the purpose of the will? The purpose of the will is to write a portion of your wealth to someone or a charitable cause, to someone who may not inherit from you, or a charitable cause. And that too, the will can only encompass 1/3 of your wealth. It can't go beyond that. Because we had the hadith of a companion who was on his deathbed, and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can I give my entire wealth away in charity? The Prophet says no. Then he says, can I give half of my wealth away in charity, 50%? The Prophet says no. Then can I give 1/3 of my wealth away in charity? 1/3, 33.33%. The Prophet says, yes, you may give, and even 1/3 is a lot. Even 1/3 is a lot. Why? Because we have other hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that tell us that it is better, or if I'm not mistaken, even in the same hadith, it is better to leave your inheritors independent, as in wealthy, or with some wealth, rather than leaving them begging from people. So if you decide to give all of your wealth away in charity, what about your inheritors? You're depriving your inheritors, you're depriving your children of actual wealth. So with regards to the will, it can only encompass 1/3 of your estate, and that 1/3 should ideally not be for your inheritors, because they are already going to inherit through the inheritance scheme. It can be for someone who is not going to inherit from you. Someone who is not going to inherit from you. It can be a family member, it can be a friend in need perhaps, someone who was with you all the while. You can make out 1/3 of your estate to that individual, or 1/3 of it for a charitable cause. Let's say you can write 1/3 of your estate to a masjid, 1/3 of your estate to a charitable organization, for it to be utilized in the form of charity. So this is the main use of the will, and along with that, another very important feature of the will, and why the Prophet ﷺ says that if any one of you has something to write in your will, 2 nights should not pass except that you write it. Mark my words, this is a very important feature. If you owe money to people, and if people owe money to you, put it in your will. Don't wait 2 nights without including it in your will. It's a stark reality, but you and I, we have to accept it. We all think, I'm not going to die today. I'm not going to die tomorrow. Touch your heart and think about it. You have so many dealings going on in your head that not even your wife knows about it at times. Not even your children know about it at times. Now, what if you die today? What if on your way home you die? And now these people who you owe money come and stand at your doorstep saying, your father, asking your children, your father owed me this much of money. Your father owed me that much of money. Now your children are going to be in confusion. Who are we to trust? Are we to trust this man who has come? Sometimes there may not be the proper documentation in place, or it can be a very complex deal. Wallahu alam. Sometimes it can be a very complex transaction. So therefore, all these things have to be written down. And by writing it in a will, my dear brothers in Islam, it shows that you are ready for death, and that you know that death can come at any time. And you don't want to leave this world with some debt hanging, where you owe somebody money and they don't know who to reach to get the money. Or someone owes you money and you don't want to deprive your children of it. Maybe you have invested it somewhere, with someone locally, abroad, wallahu alam. Include it in your will so that your inheritors, your family, your children know about that wealth. This is a very, very important feature of the last will that many people overlook. So I hope it's clear. And if you are in confusion, reach out to a scholar that you trust and gain clarity in this regard, my dear brothers in Islam. Gain clarity, learn about it. Don't be oblivious, don't be in the dark about it. It is a very, very serious matter. I intended to touch on favoritism, but as a tangent, I went into this. Favoritism is a problem that we need to tackle. As parents, don't let that toxicity spill onto your children. Don't let it spill onto your children. In that same hadith, I'll mention that and conclude. The Prophet tells Nu'man radiallahu anh, by doing this, it's going to result in one child respecting you, loving you, and doing everything. and it's going to indirectly result in the other children ill-treating you. So you are the cause of it. So don't be the cause for injustice to spread. Don't be the cause for oppression to spread, because you are the shepherd. You are the one in charge. You are responsible. And the wealth is now in your control. So therefore, be equal in your treatment towards your children. My dear brothers in Islam, when it comes to children, you see, you can't control your heart. Let me make that very clear. What comes in your heart, and I think people will relate to this, sometimes involuntarily, because maybe you have two children and one child is very obedient, loves you, is always there for you, whilst the other child at times is a little blunt and maybe does not want to help you with certain things, involuntarily your heart goes towards one child. Now that you can't control it. It is from Allah, that feeling. But what you can control is how you act upon that feeling. Now, because that feeling cropped in, if you show preference to the child, then you have acted upon it with injustice. So in terms of your treatment, it has to be equal. But your heart may warm towards one child, and that you don't have any control over. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what you have control over are your actions, your words, your statements, and how you act upon those feelings. So make sure that when it comes to children, that you treat them equally, that you fear Allah in this regard, and so that we avoid toxicity, we avoid hatred, we avoid anger seeping down the generations, and so that inshallah we can go to our graves peacefully, knowing that our children are not fighting after us, knowing that our children are not hating one another after us, knowing that our children are loving and united. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to do so. May Allah azza wa jal help us to treat our children equally. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to deal with justice when dealing with other people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to adhere to justice. May Allah ease the affairs of our country. May Allah open doors of fruitful economy for our country. May Allah strengthen our foreign reserves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let justice reign over our country. And just as how He united us here in this masjid, may He unite us in the beautiful gardens of Jannah, in the companionship of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen, ameen, wa akhir da'wayan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.